Very happy now to be talking with Tom O'Shea. He's the director of Coast and Natural Resources, and according to the Trustees of Reservations, has over 20 years of experience, accomplishments in natural resource conservation. He's taught resource management as adjunct faculty at Clark, holds a Master of Public Administration degree from Harvard, and a Master's of Forestry from Yale. Not too many people have that connection between Yale and Harvard, Tom, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I hear it all the time.
I'm sure you do. The thing that caught my eye was, I remember John Kennedy, something like that, but his was an honorary degree from Yale, so that's a little different. You know, as the director of Coast and Natural Resources at the Trustees of Reservations, I know that you know that we here in Cape Ann and on the North Shore all the way up to Newburyport, Salisbury, are very familiar with the trustees in many places, in particular, right off the top of my head, Crane Beach and others. Tell me, though, about the State of the Coast report that has just been released and how significant that is.
Yeah, no, thanks, and I appreciate the opportunity, Rick, to share that with you and others on the North Shore. You know, the trustees have properties across the state of Massachusetts on the coast. We have over 35 properties statewide on the coast. We have the largest private landowner coastline, and what we started to see on our own properties were unprecedented changes in terms of erosion, flooding from storms, even sea level rise, and it was starting to impact our operations and our natural resources, our coastal properties and beaches. And we did a coastal vulnerability assessment with Woods Hole Group about 3 years ago. And that kind of started us off on a journey, you could say, to start paying a lot more attention about coastal change and coastal resilience. And we have six major properties up in the North Shore in six different communities. And we felt that a lot of our work had to be in conjunction with the communities themselves. And we started to think that we really needed to put together what we were thinking about and thinking about how that represents across different communities starting in the North Shore so that we could be a voice and a champion for, you know, doing this work across the communities. And as a coastal landowner, we knew that we, like other coastal landowners, are affected. And our visitors and our members also, they were wondering, hey, what are the trustees going to be doing about this? So we thought we'd, you know, pull all the research we had done working with Woods Hole Group and others to create a report that would be, I would like to say, a conversation starter and a call to action on the North Shore.
How was the study done? You mentioned Woods Hole. How was this put together? You know, maybe who was involved with it in terms of resource management type people?
Yeah, well, we had a local local guy, Eric Nelson, who's a data consultant, a coastal geologist. He lives up on the North Shore. I think he's in Essex. And so we used, you know, his expertise to help us. We also work with Woods Hole Group. They have great modeling on, you know, future projections of climate and coastal change and flooding. So then we used the Massachusetts Coastal Flood Risk Model that they developed for the Department of Transportation. And what we did is took that and looked specifically at how will that affect buildings and roads and other places, how will it affect the marshes, flooding of the beaches. We looked at a lot from coastal zone management in the state, and that was helpful. And so all of us kind of worked together to bring the latest mapping and modeling, what we knew about publicly available data, and then what we did is we worked with a writer to help us kind of translate what is really technical information to more of a lay reader so that they could begin to think about this stuff and it's make it a little more accessible because a lot of the stuff can be quite technical.
Well, I should point out that I've linked to the State of the Coast report and it is eminently readable, no question.
Good. That's great. Oh, I'm glad to hear that, Rick.
Yeah, very much so. It's quite clear. Tom, you know, there's so much... As a math teacher at Gloucester High School, we had a biology teacher, and I told you this in our pregame warm-up, who in the last century, back in the 90s, wrote a paper, and I can't remember for what school it was, for her graduate, part of her graduate program, and it had to do with predicting that the science wing at Gloucester High School, which runs around along the Blimmin Canal, will be underwater at some point here during the 21st century. And we've noticed that with the most recent storms within the last couple of years, streets are starting to flood in Gloucester that never did before. What is the biggest, is there a priority in terms of what the trustees are looking at in terms of trying to mitigate or educate in terms of the most important step that needs to be taken?
Yeah. That's the fundamental question right there, right? I mean, what do we need to do to go forward? What's our take-home points here? And I would say that one is that what we found was is that after 2050, a lot of this flooding and erosion really takes off almost exponentially as compared to between now and 2050. And so I think we've got a lot of key decisions to make right now as to how we're going to either adapt or in some cases even retreat from the coast. And so I think the time is now. We tried to offer a whole range of solutions to think about how we could adapt and what that might look like and even retreat in some cases. The top priorities, I think, you know, if you're a community, and this I know, but we've provided more data to help them, you know, which is what is the critical infrastructure that could be at risk.
Mm-hmm.
We also identified homes. People can go on our website and see where those buildings are, homes and businesses that could be affected by either chronic daily tidal flooding in the future or storm events. So you can go on our website. We have an online viewer, app viewer, and people can look at that. So I would say that, you know, if you're a homeowner, a coastal landowner, you're a town, you want to look at where your infrastructure and your roads are likely to be impacted. If you're thinking about conservation, we really got to look at our marshes and how we can help those marshes keep pace with sea level rise. Our beaches, in some cases, are, you know, having really large erosion rates. Crane Beach alone, just historically, has lost 84 football fields of beach since the 1950s. And, you know, if you're a small beach like in Rockport, like Long Beach, you don't have that much space to lose, right?
Right.
You got the seawall and the residences right behind the beach. So I think a lot of communities need to start thinking about, yeah, what are we going to do for these beaches in our natural coastal areas, which, by the way, provide storm protection, the nurseries for fisheries, great places for recreation and wildlife. So you often hear people talk about the risk to the infrastructure, but we wanted to bring up, you know, also the natural areas that are going to be impacted as well.
Protecting the environment, the resources, the land, has to be part of a political process, because it's got to get down to the taxpayer, and there's so much political baloney going on right now. How do you combat that, and what's the relationship between the trustees' recommendations and cities and towns?
Yeah, I mean, we just we think that basically none of us can do this alone, right? Everybody has to be in this together, and I think this is an opportunity to, again, start a conversation in the communities among all the stakeholders, everybody who's affected, and put forth, you know, some ideas about how we can start making choices. That's what we tried to do here. That was our relationship. You know, for us, our visitors and members, right, many live on the North Shore. A lot of them enjoy our properties for public access, recreation, for the nature, but also because now we feel like we need to be taking a bigger role at, you know, having a voice and championing for coastal resilience. So we think the report's a way to do that. And we're happy to, you know, work with communities to, you know, digest this report, make more sense of it, you know, whether it's a public presentation or whatever it might be. You know, but I think, when what we heard at the press event from Senator Tarr and Representative Hill is that, you know, this is an issue that goes beyond politics. And I thought that was a really positive and encouraging thing to hear.
You mentioned those two guys, and I don't think anybody works harder than they do in terms of trying to support the communities. And you're right.
It's definitely
apolitical with them. They care. I couldn't agree with you more. Tom, is there anything else you'd like to mention, either about the trustees or about the report itself?
Yeah, I would just say that this is an opportunity for everybody to kind of reimagine the coast and just make some smart choices. Think about things now. You know, I liken it in some ways to a retirement plan. You know, it seems like people sometimes think it's too much or it's too overwhelming, too far in the future. No, you start today. And, you know, I think that hopefully this report will give a little more clarity to that. And I'm really looking forward to continuing you know, the conversation with communities.
Well, 50 years ago, if I had started saving $10 a week, I'd be a rich man now. So I get what you're saying. It starts now. Tom, thank you so much. That's Tom O'Shea, who is the Director of Coast and Natural Resources for the Trustees of Reservations here in Massachusetts.